Our reading this morning is taken from the passage that we'll be studying, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples said to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Father, we ask now that you would take your holy word and let it do its holy work, sanctifying work in the hearts of your people. Father, we come before you this morning and we, first of all and foremost, want to lift up your name in praise and honor and glory and adoration, because you are the one who have made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. You are God, and there is no other. So we come before you as God, and we come before you bowing humbly and asking you to hear our prayer. And Lord, we know that we come before you with no merit of our own, but we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, and who is now seated and even stands at the right hand of the Father to intercede for those that are his. So we come to you boldly before the throne of grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we come before you, we first want to thank you for your work of salvation in our midst. We want to thank you for the safety that you have given us. We want to thank you for allowing us to live in a country that we can worship you openly and freely. We want to thank you for allowing us to gather together this morning so that we could sing praises to God Almighty. We want to thank you for your good hand of blessing that you have put upon our families and upon this church. I want to thank you, great God, for all the work that has been done this week here in this place in anticipation of the week to come. Lord, you have been so good to us. We ask that you would continue by your grace to put your blessings upon us. Also, Lord, we want to come before you this morning with petitions. our heart is troubled, but yet at the same time we acknowledge that you are God when we think about the affairs of the world and the nations. Lord, we pray this morning for the Middle East. We pray specifically for Israel. We pray specifically for Iran. We pray specifically for those who love your name, the name of Jesus, in those places. We know that there are many who are persecuted in Iran for loving Jesus. Would you please put your hand of protection over them in this very moment? Lord, we pray that the gospel would begin to spread like wildfire there in the midst of Israel. Not only there, but as the Bible says, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. We think about our missionaries that we have in dark places spiritually, taking the gospel to people who have never heard it before. We pray specifically for Hannah and Jordan as they are there in that place ministering this very day. Put your hand of protection on Levi, that little one now. Lord, we thank you that we have an opportunity to partner with missionaries all around the world and in this country as well. So, Lord, would you please bless the Tangups? Bless Luke and Karen up in Utah. Lord, bless Joe and Don Lee here in New Mexico, and may they minister the gospel this very day. Lord, when we think about our community, we want to think also about the wildfire and the Bosque fire down south of Albuquerque. Would you please be with the families who have lost homes and property? Would you please take care of them? And if there is an avenue in which we can help them, Lord, would you please open up that door of opportunity? But Lord, let our prayers ascend to you now in the name of Jesus to take care of those people. Lord, we also want to pray for the ministry that is upcoming this week here, starting tonight and going to Thursday. Lord, we pray that you would bring children here. We pray that the gospel would be clearly presented, and not only, Lord, with words, but with hearts that are tender, that have been changed by the grace of Jesus. Lord, we pray that the gospel would not only be proclaimed, but it would be received. Lord, if there are children who come here who do not know who Jesus is and that he loves them, Lord, let the children come to you. And would you please put your hand of blessing upon them and rescue them from sin, and let them know that there is a Savior who loves them. Lord, I pray that you would be with families, that the parents of these children would be strengthened and sanctified, and Lord, that you would grow them in grace. And Lord, if it be your will, that this church might be a means by which families are rooted and grounded in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come and prepare to step into your word for a time of study, Lord, please prepare our hearts in this moment. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please make your way to Matthew chapter 13 as we begin studying the passage that we read just a few moments ago. As you know, we are making our way through the Gospel of Matthew, detouring here and then for Mother's Day or Father's Day or a special event, but our main goal and objective is to work our way systematically through this book to hear what God has to say to us through Matthew's gospel. And we've made our way to chapter 13, and in chapter 13, Jesus is teaching about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and he is doing so by means of parables. Now, do you remember we talked, not last week, but the week before, what is a parable? What is a parable? Well, a parable is a story or an episode that has one meaning on the outside, but when explained, teaches a deeper truth, may we say, on the inside. On one hand, it is a story maybe about seeds and about soil or about seeds and weeds or about mustard seeds and growing or leaven and bread. So it has a meaning on the outside, but unless you are given a meaning, the explanation of it, you don't really catch the meaning on the inside. Let's listen to this parable that Jesus teaches beginning in verse 24, if you would read along with me. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Let's pray. Father, would you please, in this moment, take the words of your Son, Jesus, and allow them to fall upon soft hearts. Allow the seed to enter into good soil. And I ask this morning that you, by your grace and by your mercy, would produce a bumper crop of us falling before you, giving our lives to you to be used for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would take me and hide me in the shadow of your wing. Forgive me of my sin and allow your Son, Jesus, to come forward in the power of the Spirit to proclaim his word to his people and to nourish our souls this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go back home to Virginia, right? And on the way back home, we were on the mountain roads of Virginia, and Dad and I were riding together. And if you're on the mountain roads of Virginia, specifically that little community that I grew up in called Bear Wallow, if you look around, the thing that you will see the most of is trees, and a lot of trees. A lot of green trees on those ridges there in the mountains of Virginia. But as we were driving around to church, our old church, and back, Dad leaned over and talked to me, and he said, "You know, it wasn't always like this. In fact, when the missionaries came to plant that little church there in the mountains, they have a picture of those hills and ridges. And on those hills or ridges, you don't see trees. You see rows and rows of corn on those mountain ridges, plowed by either teams of horses or teams of mules." And Dad quickly pointed out, hoed by hardworking men and women. Now, why would you hoe a row of corn? Well, what will grow up if you don't do that? Yeah, weeds will grow up in the midst of that crop. Well, also on that trip out to Virginia, we went through the great state of Arkansas. And right before we crossed over the Mississippi River, we got buzzed multiple times, boom, by what? Crop duster. And that crop duster was like watching an air show, and I even got told, "Hey, keep your eyes on the road," right? Because I'll be watching an airplane, and here I go, right? But it was. We saw multiple. I know at one session, we saw about 7 planes doing crops in different areas. Why would those airplanes be dusting the crops? Either for fertilizer to allow the crop to grow, or weed suppressant to kill those weeds. One more story. When I was home, every one of Dad's sidewalks were as just pristine and clean as you could see. And what does he use to keep those sidewalks clean? He calls it a man toy. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You press a little button, and the flame comes out the end of it. It's a flamethrower that you use to kill what? Weeds. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, mankind, men and women alike, have fought weeds. Jesus uses that universal truth that each and every one of us knows. Now, even in the desert, we're not immune to those, because when I got home, guess what? My sand-filled yard was growing goat heads, tumbleweeds, everything else, right? And so I hear that the curse is here too. It's everywhere. The weeds grow. And Jesus uses that universal truth of the weeds to teach a lesson, a parable. Now remember the context of Matthew chapter 13. Jesus up to this time has presented himself through works, blind, see, leopards cleansed, the paralyzed walk, sins forgiven, dead risen, evil spirits cast out, proclaiming the good news to the poor. Jesus is presented and is the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, and he is, in by and large, what by the people? Rejected. He is being rejected by not only the religious leaders, but the people by and large. You cast out demons in the name of the prince of demons, Beelzebub. They see his works, but they do not connect it to who he is. He is the king that has come to save his people from their sins, and they are rejecting him. But are all of them rejecting him? No. There's some fishermen who left their boat, left their dad to follow this man because they believed that he really was that king. There were those who heard his invitation, "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest." And some, a few, heard his call and followed. That is why Jesus speaks in parables. He says so himself back here in chapter 13, verse 11. "And he answered them," his disciples, "to you, disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, those who have rejected, it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." The disciples will be given more because they received him. The kingdom will be opened up to them. Those who reject, though, will not. And so he teaches in parables, and he gives the keys to the kingdom, the explanation of the parables, to the disciples. What is the next thing that Jesus will reveal about the kingdom of heaven? Brings us to point number one: unexpected intrusions. Unexpected intrusions, and he uses the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, to teach about these unexpected intrusions. So let me read again, beginning in verse 24, in Jesus' words. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Now Jesus is speaking in a parable, and on the surface, he's talking about agriculture. He's actually talking about an enemy who spitefully set up and sabotaged somebody's field. But if you will make your way over to verse 36, Jesus begins to explain the meaning of this parable to his disciples. Do you see what he's doing? Concealing to most, revealing the secrets of the kingdom, the mysteries there, to his disciples. And so he explains to them the meaning of this parable. Verse 36, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom.'" Let's stop right there. So Jesus begins to explain and unfold the meaning of this parable. And to step into the meaning of this parable, I want to use a little illustration to ask you a question. Have you ever had expectations that were not met? Perhaps, maybe, you looked on your phone and you wanted to go to this restaurant and you saw the star number beside of it, right? He said, "I think this one's good," and maybe somebody leans over, "Yeah, this one's got, you know, this has got over 500 reviews, so it should be pretty good, right?" And so you say, "I'm going to try this restaurant out." And you go in there expecting decent service and pretty good food, and before you know it, the service is not so good, and the food is even worse. And you had expectations up here, but here's where the reality set in, right? This is what it really was. Do you know what that distance in between that is called? disappointment. That's your disappointment, right? Expectations here, reality here, disappointment. Sometimes it happens on vacation. I mean, you spend months planning this vacation at this perfect place with the perfect scenery, and you know all the people's going to be nice when you get there. And then the expectations are here, and maybe the reality sets in here, and if you're honest, there's a little bit of disappointment when you get home. Sometimes things like that happen. Now, you need to ask me, Pastor, what does that have to do with the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds? I want to ask you this. When you gave your life to Jesus to follow him, I want you to know that there was a sweetness and a blessing in that. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's a sweetness and a blessing of entering in to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But did you ever think being a Christian would be so hard? Sometimes. You see, that's the question that this parable addresses. Isn't Jesus the King? I mean, not a king, the King, the King of Kings. Isn't Jesus the Lord? Doesn't he have all authority over heaven and earth? And the answer is yes, yes, absolutely yes. He is the King. He is the Lord. He has all authority over heaven and earth. Then why in the world does his people still suffer the effects of sin? There is brokenness left in this world. This parable addresses that question that you have. Why is it so hard? Why is there so much opposition to the way of the King? Do you think that would be a relevant question to a first or second century martyr who was living for Jesus and would not renounce his name? Do you think they might ask, why is this happening? You're the King. It's a relevant question. Do you think it's a relevant question for somebody today who lives in a country in which Christians are still persecuted? Why is this difficulty still here? You are the King, aren't you, Jesus? You have authority. And the answer is yes. Do you think it's a relevant question for you when, because you follow Jesus, things are hard at work or at school or at the grocery store or maybe even in your own home? It's a very relevant question. And what is Jesus' answer to that question? He is the King. He has all authority over heaven and earth. But he says, the kingdom is like this. There is wheat and there is weeds. Listen as he explains it in verses 38. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. You see, Jesus is saying that all is not exactly well yet. Yet. Wheat and weeds, a man sows good seed. And now we see this. This is the image is Jesus sowing the seed of the gospel and it taking root in good soil and bearing fruit for God's glory. But does the parable end with that picture? And the answer is, it doesn't. The parable goes on. And what does Jesus say? What else happens? Look at verse 25. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. So he's saying that in the midst of the gospel ministry of Jesus, there is wheat, good seed that bears good fruit in good soil, but there is also something else at work. It is the enemy, and he has a purposeful sabotage on the work of God's kingdom. Let me read again verses 26 down through 28, and just listen to the sabotage that takes place. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." An enemy has done this. Purposeful sabotage. The Roman emperor Justinian is known even to this very day of the emperor that codified the laws of Rome. He took the thousands of years of laws from both the Republic of Rome and the Empire of Rome, and he brought them together, and he organized them, and he wrote a clear, codified Roman law. And in Justinian's digest, you will read this phrase: "If someone, out of hatred or spite, throws a tear into another person's field, we must consider whether that person is liable under the law. And the answer to that is yes, provided that he did it with deceit so that the other person would not know that he did this." It was against Roman law for a person to go into another person's field and to spread weeds and ruin their crop. Purposeful, intentional sabotage by an enemy. And Jesus says that's what's happening in the field. Now, what type of weed does Jesus talk about here? Specifically, he probably talks about the darnel. Now, what is a darnel? A darnel is a weed that when it begins to grow, it's very, very difficult to distinguish it from wheat. So it's a tear, a weed that looks like wheat until the moment that it begins to produce fruit. And you see, hey, this is wheat, but this is a weed. One more step further. The darnel not only was a weed, not useful, but it was also harmful and poisonous. Nausea, dizziness, slurred speech, convulsions, and if you ate enough of it, death. So if you went to harvest your field and you left the darnel in there, you would not only have a reduced crop, but you would be poisoning whatever ate it. This is the image that Jesus uses to reveal a secret or a mystery of the kingdom. What's the proposed solution by the servants? Well, you know what we're supposed to do with weeds, right? Fire up the flamethrower. Get the hoe out. Start up that airplane, and we're going to take care of these weeds. Let's get them out of here. And that's exactly the proposed solution by the servants. Look at me at verse 28. And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather it up?" Here's the answer. But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first, bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Do you see what he says? Do not go and gather them right now. Why? Because you're going to ruin the wheat if you do that. Now, if you've been around any person who has a hay field and it's about time to put up hay, the very last thing you want to do is either go running in that hay field or do not drive your truck or tractor in that hay field. Why? Because it will ruin the crop. Same thing, if the servants went out into the middle of the wheat field to pick those weeds, it would ruin the good things. And darnel also takes its roots and intertwines it with the wheat. So if you were to pick up the weed and root it out of the ground, guess what else comes with it? The wheat. He says, no, let them stay together for now. Let them stay together for now. You see, Satan has been defeated at the cross, but his influence in the world can still be felt even to this day. The evil one and his powers still oppose the way of King Jesus. And here is an application for us. Let me read the scripture and try to put the leather down to the road. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. When you received Jesus as your Savior, you received the greatest blessings the world has to offer. Your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. You are clothed with His righteousness. You will not die eternal death, separation from God, but you will live with Him forever. You will see Him face to face. Embrace those promises of the gospel with every fiber of your being. But know this, that until that time comes that you see Him face to face and we walk in this world, evilness is still present. What does that mean? That means Christians who are covered with the blessing and graces of God will still experience pain. They will have tears of sorrow. They will have hearts that are broken because the work of the evil one still persists in the world. So know this, Christian, that you have the blessing of God for all eternity upon you, but we are not insulated or immune from pain as we walk in this life in a broken world. We need to know that, don't we? Because you will get discouraged thinking that everything is going to be good once you become a Christian if you don't know this truth that Jesus is teaching, that we still live life in a broken world where evil still has its influence. That's the first application we want to take away from this. Embrace the gospel blessings with everything in them, but know that we still have a hard road to walk as believers. And then the second thing that we want to remember, it's only for a time. That time of brokenness, pain, tears, and hurt is short compared to eternity. And there is a day coming. What is the day, the coming day that Jesus teaches of? Verse 30 is the parable. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into their barn. Now go over to verse 40 and you will hear the interpretation that Jesus gives. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. If you were to travel to Brazil in the months of June to September, you will find, as Melody and I did on one of our missions trips, that in that wonderful, beautiful, tropical country, there will be dark clouds that arise. And those dark clouds are not storm clouds. What's happening? Those dark clouds are from the interior of the country as the farmers burn their sugarcane. And plumes of smoke go up, and ash begins to fall. And what is the reason that the farmers burn the sugarcane? They do it before harvest to get rid of all the dead leaves and dead tops of the sugarcane and all the weeds that had grown underneath to clear out the weeds. And did you know that the burning of weeds is not a new concept. Jesus says they will be gathered and burned. There is a coming day in which those who walk apart from Christ will suffer the judgment for their sins. The coming day is a coming day of judgment. Listen exactly what Jesus says. They will be gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of age. Sin itself and the cause for sin will be rooted out, and those who follow the evil one in his ways. My heart always breaks when I think about a day of judgment coming. But it will not only be a day of judgment, it will also be a day of joy. Because listen to what Jesus says at the very end of this parable interpretation, verse 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. A day of judgment, but a day of joy. Here, Christ encourages his followers that although evil is present in the world for the moment, there will be a day that all the wrongs will be made right. Sin will be cast out forever. Every twistedness will be untwisted and made straight. That is a day in which sins will be judged. Now the question comes, a day of judgment, a day of joy. What will that day be for you? A holy, perfect God cannot turn his eyes away from sin. He can't turn a blind eye to it. He cannot take one single sin and sweep it under the rug. But here's the truth from Scripture. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All sins will be punished. All sins will be taken care of. The question is, how? On the one hand, there will be a day of judgment in which your sins are laid upon you and you will feel the wrath and judgment of God. That's the day of judgment. On the other hand, there will be some, because they have placed their faith in Jesus, that their sins will have already been taken care of on the cross. All sins will be punished. One, the day of judgment. Two, upon the cross of Christ. Any person who places their faith in Jesus Christ, their sins are taken care of on the cross. Your sins are forgiven. You're given the robe of righteousness. So what will that day be like? A day of judgment or a day of joy? It all depends upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. So I look at you and I say, do you love Jesus? Will you give your life into his hands? Will you ask him to take care of your sins on the cross? I want you to think about this for a second. The man who is speaking this parable is the same man that will take care of the sin problem for you. He will go to the cross. The king will die so that his servants might live. What is your relationship with Jesus? Now, we have some unexpected intrusions, but there is a day coming that all the wrongs will be made right. Point number one. And point number two, there is an unstoppable growth to the kingdom of Christ as well, which brings us to two other parts of this parable, or two other separate parables, but smaller, verse 31 and following. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and makes its nest in its branches. A tiny seed. Small items with big results. If you're ever hiking on top of a mountain and you kick a rock over the pass, that rock sometimes hits another rock, and that rock hits another rock. And before you know it, because you've kicked one pebble off the path, you just made a landslide down the mountain. And that little rock does great things given time and energy, right? Well, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of Christ is like a mustard seed that starts so tiny but grows so large. What do you mean by that? Jesus, the 12, the 72, the 120 in the room after his death, burial, and resurrection. Jerusalem, captured by the gospel. Judea, gospel. Samaria, gospel. The world, gospel. Small as a mustard seed. It's going to take over the world, he says. You might not believe it now, but the day is coming. The second parable is likened to it, but not exactly the same. Look with me at verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid into 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. And you can see the similarities. Something small does something big. Now, if you were to walk into our kitchen, and you're welcome to, and open up our refrigerator door, and you look on the top shelf, and you might have to move some creamer or milk or something, but back there you'll see a little jar with a lid on it, and there's something in the bottom of that jar, and you might look at it and say, what in the world is that? And I say, that's some goop. That's some goop in there. What is that goop? Well, that goop is sourdough starter, known as leaven. And if you take that jar out, and you put a little bit of that goop, that leaven, and some flour and water all together, place it in a bowl. I've seen it happen. Put a little towel over that bowl. Before you know it, whatever's in that bowl is alive. And it starts to grow on its own, big. A little tiny bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And the point that Jesus is making is, you might think that the influence of my disciples is small now, but you wait and see. It will change the world. Did you know the Greeks and the Romans cared nothing about human rights, love, mercy, and grace? They could care less. It wasn't a virtue, it was a vice. But the gospel, through hearts, lives, changed nations, changed the world, and now those things are the air that we breathe. A little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. One final application in conclusion. Mustard seed, tiny, little pinch of leaven. There's something that took place this past week. And I don't know, I doubt you ever saw it in the newspaper headlines. Definitely not on the news. But it did take place Thursday evening, right here in this building. A few of us gathered together. What do? We open up the Bible. We heard how Jesus loved children and says, come unto me. And then we took a good long while and we prayed. We prayed that God would use Vacation Bible School for his glory. Like I said, I don't think it ever made any headlines this week. But God heard. We got a mustard seed ministry going on here. A little leaven. But this VBS that's coming up this week has been covered with prayer. And we have pleaded that the Lord would take and use it for his glory. That the gospel would reach into the hearts of children and rescue them. That parents and families would be changed. And this coming week, unless God sees otherwise, there probably won't be over 100 people here on a single day. And SVBS, it won't make any headlines. But God can take a mustard seed and a pinch of leaven and change the world. So I encourage you, don't miss out on what God can do through the little things in your life. A little bit of food in the kitchen. A little time spent talking to a child who's hurting. Time of prayer early in the morning for what's going to happen that day. Taking out the trash. Giving a cup of water. Speaking gospel truth. Your little mustard seeds and little leaven, with God's grace, goes a long way. So let us, church, give our lives over to being mustard seed Christians and using a little leaven in our life to see what God might do this week. We may never know what God does through VBS, and we don't have to, but God has promised to work when his word goes forth. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and we just praise you and thank you for this morning. This morning that we can begin this week with worship, worshiping God Almighty in spirit and truth. And we ask, Lord, that although we will face opposition in this world now, we know that there is a day coming when all wrongs will be made right. And in the meantime, Lord, let us sink our roots deep in the promises that you delight in taking mustard seeds and pinches of leaven to do your great work in this world. Change lives this week. Begin right here in this pulpit with mine. Begin right here in this church with these people. And Lord, let it spread out to the children and to the parents that will come here this week. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.